Always great to have your company. Thanks to all of you that have called and sent in a text so far today. Campbell Brown's been good enough to jump on the line and have a quick chat to me, though. Co-host of The Winners, 9 a.m. tomorrow with Andrew Bensley on SEN Track and simulcast on 7.2 from 10 a.m. thanks to Identifiber, Asbestos Risk Management Services Identifiber. Welcome to you, Brownie. Great to have you back.
G'day, Dwayne. How's your week been?
Yeah, pretty good because I've got footy to watch. Let's talk some footy before we talk racing. What did you make of last night?
Oh, it was sensational. Wasn't a whole lot of defence about the game, but freewheeling, high scoring, saw plenty of goals in action. And I think that all the spectators and certainly the AFL decision makers would have been pretty happy with the amount of goals kicked.
Yeah, I reckon, as you mentioned at the start, and I mentioned at the start of this program, the style of play was something that, I mean, the goal, we can get hung up on goal numbers sometimes, but when you see that free-flowing footy, when you see, you know, an aggressive, attacking kind of brand of footy, no flooding and no strangling congestion, it makes you pretty happy that the game might be in good shape. It's only one game, but it's a nice game to see.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And both sides, I think we've got fairly high expectations of both of them this year. You know, St Kilda, having tasted finals footy for the first time in a little while last year, will naturally improve, and they've added to their list. I thought that Hill, you know, looked sensational the way he was running and carrying the ball last night. And then Carlton, obviously, the great expectation with what they did during the trade period. Zach Williams hit the ground running, didn't he? I thought his two goals from stoppages were superb. He's just added that little bit of class. Jack Silvani up four, took some grabs and used his footy smart. So hopefully he can get a good run at this year, and I see significant improvement from the Blues.
Yeah, it's exciting because both teams had a couple of guys out. The Blues probably, you know, a couple of key guys, especially when Mackay went off injured. But yeah, really promising signs for both. You mentioned Zach Williams hit the ground running. He also hit Hunter Clark. Do you think he hit him hard enough to get a game for it?
I'm probably the wrong guy to ask, but I didn't think there was a whole lot in it. Hunter, you know, tough boy, jumped straight to his feet. Maybe it's a fine, and just sort of say, you know, watch that action in the future. But I didn't think it was enough for him to get rubbed out.
Yeah. So on that, is it okay if that's the template then? Because whatever happens with this one, it'll get referred to for the rest of the season. So if you get a game for a similar thing during the year and Zach Williams doesn't get one, everyone will say, well, Zach Williams got one, didn't get one pre-season. Yep. So are you okay with that template being set? The guy gets straight back up, didn't show any ill effects, didn't look like the bump was as vicious. So we don't give a game, we only fine that.
Yeah, I think so. And that, to me, a fine would be an appropriate sort of penalty for that action. And obviously, you know, if you hit someone harder, you hit them higher, you hit them a little bit later, well, then the natural progression is, you know, step it up to a week and go from there. But, yeah, certainly, you know, I didn't think there was a whole lot of malice in that that bump in action last night.
What are you expecting tonight out of Richmond and out of Collingwood individually?
Oh, it'll be interesting. I mean, it's been a pretty tumultuous off-season for the Pies, hasn't it? You know, trading away a couple of really high quality players and all the backlash from that, and then obviously more recently, you know, Eddie having to stand down and everything around that. So that should galvanise the playing list, you know, and they would have been itching to get out there and actually do what they're paid to do, and that's play a game of footy. And you know, and there's no doubt that Nathan Buckley would be preaching that to his players for the last couple of weeks, that don't let the outside sort of influences focus on what we want to do. And, you know, they're still in premiership mode, I believe. It's going to probably be a little bit harder this year than the previous years, but, you know, they've certainly got the cattle. And if they can get a good run with injuries, which they haven't really been able to do the last 12, 18 months, then they're going to figure in the finals where that is. I'm not too sure. I don't have them in the top four, but their best is good enough. And, you know, if Jordan DeGoey and a few of their quality players get on the park and stay on the park, then they're going to be a tough side. And Richmond, they'll probably be a little bit behind the eight ball. They tend to start the season pretty slow, as you do, having gone all the way through to play in grand finals. And your surgeries are delayed. Your pre-season's pushed back a little bit. So they're probably just wanting to get out there and get through unscathed.
Yeah, we'll be talking hangover in round four and a premiership in round 14, probably for Richmond, as we normally do. Oh, yeah. They're gone in round four. And then round 14 with a lookout. Here we go. the interesting part to Collingwood is they played that more of an aggressive style and won a final with it against the West Coast Eagles in the West. It'll be interesting to see if Bucks is forced to do that a bit with these new rules, allowing it to be done. If he sort of goes against the grain, it will be a distinct move by Bucks to go against the new grain.
Yeah, it certainly will be. And that'll be the fascinating thing about tonight and I suppose this whole round for most of the sides. You know, they'll all have different things they want to get out of this weekend's footy and be trying new things, be trying new players, but certainly trying new game styles and things like that. So I think the main thing is that you show a bit of connectivity as a playing group, mids, forwards, backs. You get through without, you know, too many injuries or suspensions to your star players, and you try and unearth a couple of young guys that have shown a bit on the training track and in intra-club games, and the next step for them to cement their spot, you know, in round one or early in the year is to perform under a little bit more pressure. And it's great to see fans, you know, back at the grounds here in Victoria, and just adds another level of excitement.
Talking to Hawthorn Premiership star Campbell Brown. We'll talk racing very shortly. Campbell, you're doing a game for AFL Nation on the weekend, North and Hawthorn at Arden Street. Did you ever play at Arden Street? You're too
never
young,
aren't
you?
Played at Arden Street. Yeah, no, yeah. I've only ever been there for a few photo shoots and things like that with Channel 7. So, before my time, I played some footy at Waverley before it ended in under 16s and 18s. But some of those old grounds are great to get to, Vic Park and things like that. And I think it's great that their footy's returning.
Yeah, it should be exciting. What are you expecting from that one? Your old team, Hawthorn, is going to be an interesting watch. Even Alistair Clarkson has admitted he doesn't know what he's going to get.
Oh, yeah. I think, you know, we spoke last week about Kingy's predictions. And these two sides, barring a miracle, will probably be down the bottom of the ladder. In doing some of my preparation for the game, I was just gobsmacked at how much experience has walked out of the door at Hawthorn over the last, you know, 12 months. Stratton and Isaac Smith and Henderson, obviously more recently Scully, Pioppolo. I mean, there's about 1,600 games and a lot of finals and premiership experience. So they're a very young side. Obviously, Tom Mitchell and Jack Gunston will probably not play with their injuries as well, so they're going to be a bit light on, but you know, it gives opportunity for some young guys. And you know, I remember my first year at Hawthorn, I got thrown in the deep end to play a game when I didn't really deserve it in a NAB Cup game or whatever they're called these days, Community Challenge. And it's a real eye opener. You know, it gives you a taste of playing with the big boys and what you need to do and how far off the mark you are. And it was, you know, one of the best things that could have happened to me. And then you go back to your Box Hill and you work on a couple of things, and you never know when that opportunity is going to arise. So there's going to be a lot of players that are probably going to get a game tomorrow night that they wouldn't expect it to. But you show a bit and you play well and you do the team thing, and you never know, you might get an early game in the season.
Yeah, sum that up beautifully. Cats and Bombers are an interesting watch. I noticed that, and I talked about it earlier, Paul Brasher, the Essendon president, telling us that, his quote was, our fans can expect to see a very consistent effort from week to week. But his quote went on saying, with a massive emphasis on development. I'm not sure you can get both. If you're going to play a lot of kids, you're going to get inconsistency. So yep. I reckon he should have warned Essendon fans to expect a bit of up and down, not consistency.
Yeah, it's going to be another tough and frustrating year for Bombers supporters, I feel. You know, they have got some quality players there, but throughout the course of the last few years, they've probably struggled to, from the outside looking in, to see a real definitive game plan and style as to how they go about their footy. And I'm sure, you know, Benny Rutten, the new senior coach there that's taking over, is going to be trying to implement some new things. But you're right, you know, young playing list comes with inexperience. Some weeks they'll be great and their defensive pressure will be through the roof, and for whatever reason, you know, the next week it'll be deplorable, and that's that's the coaching game that you need to try and get these players up to a consistent level week to week, and that's where you know, improvement comes. So they've got the leaders there, you know, and the bigger bodies through the midfield to be able to do that, and certainly there's plenty to work with. But I said it last year and I'll say it again this year, where they're going to kick their goals consistently to win games of footy is my question mark around Essendon. Yeah. I think their defence is good. Their midfield's really solid. But their forward line's probably the most inconsistent part of their ground.
Yeah, and where they're going to have a few of those young guys as well. It'll be interesting to see what Peter Wright ends up delivering for them. What do you think you'll give them?
Oh, look, he was terrific in his early career up at the Gold Coast. And for whatever reason, he just sort of dropped away with some injury and probably lost a bit of confidence and belief in himself. So new club, fresh start. He's at least a 25 to 30 goal forward minimum. If he can, you know, if he can string together 15 to 20 games, I think he can kick a couple of goals a week. There's no doubt about it.
We can't really read much into the Crows Port game probably, but we might be able to read a bit into the Eagles Dockers game. Are you expecting the Dockers to improve a bit?
Yeah, I am. I really am. You know, that's a side that you look at and you really do know how they want to play week to week. And, you know, they're very focused around defence. And I thought last year they made, you know, huge inroads into where they want to be. They were competitive most weeks. They upset a couple of sides. And they're a really strong side when they play at home, like the Eagles are, with that, you know, that West Australian advantage. So, I think they're definitely a side that can be knocking on the door to play top eight footy. And if anything, I'd like to see them take the game on a bit more. I reckon they've got the firepower to kick big scores, and they probably didn't pull the trigger on that as much last year as we would have liked to have seen. But, you know, defence first, but they have some weapons up forward.
And the Dogs and the D's is an interesting one. Who do you think will finish higher at the end of the home and away season before you look at the actual game we're going to see on the weekend?
Probably the Doggies. I think the second half of last year was the real Doggies, and I know that they, you know, they probably were a little bit disappointing come finals time, but they've added to their list again. Obviously, Treloar goes in and is enormous. They've given some support to Tim English. So they've bolstered their stocks a little bit, and Melbourne, they're inconsistent. I don't know where they will end up. They should be a final side. That's the expectation, I think. And if they don't make the finals, there's, you know, there's going to be a little bit of blowback there for a few people. But people always think when I'm speaking to you, Dwayne, that I always knock Melbourne, and I don't like them. Actually, I really like them. I've just spent last night with Geordie Lewis, and we had a really good chat about, you know, the lists of Melbourne and Hawthorn and a few, and I just find that they underperform a lot.
Have you want to talk some racing? Well, the man to talk to is always Campbell Brown. He's been in really good form. He's co-host of The Winners, 9 a.m. tomorrow again with Andrew Bensley on SEN Track. Simulcast on 7.2 from 10 a.m. thanks to Identifiber, Asbestos Risk Management Services. Welcome back to you, Brownie. Thanks for hanging on over the A-break. Firstly, how's Ben's been? He's a great addition to the team, isn't he?
Yeah, he certainly is. He's like the Bruce McAvaney of horse racing. He knows everything. He knows the breeding and everyone involved through... you know, 3 decades. So he's been a lot of fun on a Saturday morning. I do my best to stir him up, as I always try and do. And he knocks me for six. I can't get under his skin, unfortunately.
I presume you didn't get the quaddie last week.
Oh, that would have been nice, wouldn't it? No, we were miles off. I didn't see that coming, but one lucky punter that we heard from did get the quaddie and made a fortune. So well done to him. But yeah, no, still, I've had some mates that were abusing me for leaving a couple of those numbers out.
Yeah, you can only get it by taking the field, really, the way I look at it, unless you,
that's right,
you had an extreme bit of luck. Who does win tomorrow and get us some money at Flemington?
Yeah, the Australia Cup will be a great running, as it always is. I really like 50 Stars. It is the favourite, but it's about $4.20. You know, the Hayes Dabernick runner is so consistent, loves Flemington. Third up, I thought I thought last start was absolutely superb performance. So stepping up in trip should be hard to beat. In the Todman up in Sydney, I'm declaring Profiteer unbeatable. All reports are that that horse has come through last start in even better order and has improved, and it won by 10 lengths. So I don't think they'll be able to beat it tomorrow or in the Golden Slipper for that matter, and a little bit later in the day in the Guineas. Annabelle Neesham's got Mo Unga, which is second up. Blinkers go on, drawn a good gate. The New Zealand runner that's the favourite's unbeaten, but 5 from 5, all on a soft track, and it stopped raining up in Sydney. They're forecast to be racing on a good four deck, which I think makes the favourite a little bit vulnerable. So I'm going to look to a little bit of value in Mo Unga at about $6.50 in that.
And Profiteer is better than even money as well, isn't it? So you're giving us one there that at least is going to help us out early in the program as well.
Yeah, $2.30 seems a great price. So I'm expecting it to probably jump and run at about $1.90, $1.95. I reckon a lot of smart punters will come for that horse nice and early. So, yeah, I'm going to be taking the $2.30 on offer right now.
And the whisper that crowds could continue to increase this year at the races to the point that we might get a big spring carnival again. That's pretty exciting to think that might be on the agenda for all those people that love their racing come the, you know, end of the season.
Yeah, no, it really is. We've had some spectators at Caulfield, at Flemington. There'll be more there tomorrow. Hoping that the state government make an announcement about the Warrnambool May races very shortly, because that's just an iconic couple of days up in Warrnambool. Having just been up there talking to the locals, they're itching for a decision to be made. At the moment, it's 2,500, but that seems a little bit out of whack with how many are allowed at Caulfield and Flemington at the moment. So they can lift the numbers there and continue to build right throughout the course of the year to the spring carnival. It'll be as big as it's ever been, I reckon, Dwayne, after we all had last year off. There'll be some real sort of celebrity types that are floating around the birdcage and swanning around, and be very happy about it.
Hard enough to get a ticket as it is. It's going to be even tougher this coming spring. Great to have you, Prowney. I'm glad I know you. I'll be able to get a ticket because I'll be able to mention your name.
Good to have you on. If you mention my name.
Have a good weekend of racing.
Good on you, mate.
Campbell Brown, great to have him. He's co-host of the Winners. So 9 a.m. tomorrow, Andrew Bensley on SEN Track. Simulcast on 7.2 from 10 a.m. And the Winners brought to you by Identifiber, specialising in asbestos, mould, air quality and environmental services. That's it for me. Been an absolute pleasure to have your company today. Can't wait to see Richmond and Collingwood tonight, and just a mountain of footy on the weekend that we've got to go to as well. AFLW continues, so if you love your AFLW, don't forget the AFLW. Make sure you keep getting on to the AFLW games and supporting the girls. I'll be back Monday for Midday Madness, so everything that happens on the weekend, put it in your notebook and give me a call on Midday Madness on Monday, and let's see if we can stretch Midday Madness to 3 hours worth now that the boys are back as well. Join me Monday. Stick around, though. Bob and Andy are next. I'll catch you later.